And here comes Russian Camelot with a big bounding run. Dalasan laid into the fence, but he's got the lead. Russian Camelot's after him. Then Warning and Zaidani. It's in front, Russian Camelot from Dalasan, and he's king of the castle, Russian Camelot. He takes the derby from Dalasan, and Warning is third.
Hello, welcome to the Trainer's Heart. I'm Todd Blum, your host here at the Sports Thought Studios. Thank you very much for listening to episode 2 of the Trainer's Heart. We've got a big show planned for you today. Joining me a little later on the line is Dan Fletcher, who of course is involved in the ownership of Russian Camelot. We're going to have a good look at Russian Camelot's win in the South Australian Derby last Saturday as well. And that's not the only superstar that Dan Fletcher owns as well. He's also in the ownership of Sunlight, so we'll have a little bit of a chat to him about her as well before this week's Goodwood. And of course, he owns Talamon Thoroughbreds up there in Queensland. Russian Camelot, well, as I said off the top, he was ultra impressive, wasn't he? And he shot to favouritism of the Melbourne Cup, and rightfully so. It was a very dominant win. We'll have a bit of a look at that and the Andrew Ramsden Stakes this week. Win and you're in to the Melbourne Cup. It's an excellent initiative by the VRC. It's a pretty good field, not a capacity field, but there's some very, very good stayers there and a couple that are going to be very promising in the future as well. So we'll have a bit of a look at that. I'm very excited to bring the Trainer's Heart to you. If you haven't subscribed already, you can do so on the website. It is now on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. So just subscribe or follow wherever you get your podcasts and keep up to date with the episodes. And please feel free to share it with a friend or two and help us get the show out there and continue to grow. We really appreciate the support. So let's get stuck into it. Episode 2, Russian Camelot off the top. By gee, he was something else in the South Australian Derby. And just before we get into it, what an addition of the Derby. There's been a lot of people that have been saying it probably should be stripped of its Group 1 status. And it probably looked a little bit in danger there for a while, but the field that was assembled, just particularly that top five finishing order, there's going to be some very talented horses coming out of that race and a few that are going to have a big say in the spring later on in the year. But it was all about Russian Camelot. He was the man, and in the call we heard he come bounding down the outside. He really mowed them down. He was three wide, tail of the field, the trip. And at the turn, Moonlight Maid, the filly, she just took off. She tried to take matters into her own hand, and she certainly looked like she was going to take some catching, and she did for a stage there. But Russian Camelot, as I said, he just got down the outside. Dalasan hit the front. He looked the winner at the 100 metres there, and then Russian Camelot just went, looked him in the eye and said, "Don't worry, mate, I'll take over this," and went on to win with Johnny Allen on board. He's certainly got a very bright future. They're dreaming of the Melbourne Cup, and why wouldn't they? We'll have a chat to Dan about that in a moment. He was purchased for around $240,000, this horse, and it seems cheap now, doesn't it? But for a Northern Hemisphere horse, they brought a couple at the sales over there, so this one is certainly going on with the job, and there's a couple more to come through. So from all reports, they're a bit more a traditional European staying type. They're not being rushed along, and this boy is sort of the outlier. But in terms of the future, the Melbourne Cup is obviously the dream. The ownership have pretty much said, along with Danny O'Brien, that they're not going to make any decisions now, obviously, but they're going to run him in the Maccabi Diva. And the Turnbull, ideally, so the 1600-metre Maccabi Diva into the 2000-metre Turnbull, and that'll give them a bit of a guide onto where they go next, they go in the Melbourne Cup path, or perhaps a Cox Plate. He certainly looks like he could be a Melbourne Cup horse, the way he got over the 2500 metres, and Danny O'Brien, of course, with the property down there at Geelong, he seems to have got a very, very good operation where he can train these stayers, coming off the back of Vaughan de Clare's Melbourne Cup win last year with a modified preparation to what many would call conventional. But again, he looks sharp. He looks sharp enough. He looks talented enough that he could run in a Cox Plate. And gee, if I owned him, I'd be dreaming of both at the moment. So the options are definitely open. I just want to touch a little bit on the breeding too. So he's by Camelot and he's out of a Cape Cross mare, both stallions of which spent a bit of time at stud in Australia. They weren't that well received, and that's obviously why they didn't stay here that long. I've spoken a little bit on Sport Thought. There's an article on the website, the blog there, sportthought.com.au. If you haven't had a look at it, it's a bit about the VRC St. Ledger and potentially upgrading that race to a ballot exemption as well. Just helping the shift in the breeding industry of Australia, try and support these middle distance horses, and not only the stallions, but the resulting foals of that. So a lot of people say the stud masters need to give us more options for middle distance stallions. And then the stud masters, on the other hand, are saying, well, the breeders don't support them. And then the breeders say, well, we send a mare to them and the market doesn't support them. So it's a bit of a vicious cycle. I think there's slowly a bit of a shift. You know, we're seeing a lot more of these middle distance type horses. We spoke to Adam Sangster last week in episode one. He's got Highland Reel there at Swettenham and Puissance de Lune. Also is, of course, Moonlight Maid sire. So there naturally is a bit of a shift, and there was a lot made that he was a Northern Hemisphere three-year-old, so spotted 6 months on his rivals in this race. I don't think it's too much a deal about, well, their three-year-olds can smash ours, which we sort of know when it comes to the Stain races. They have that bit of an advantage, but I think this horse is just that good. And I mean, Masked Crusader on the same day in Sydney, he was a three-year-old against the older horses, and he won pretty convincingly too. So it's pretty easy to jump to conclusions, but I think this fella has just proved that he is something else. That's not to take anything away from the horses behind him, though. Dallasan was second. He's obviously a high-class horse, and I think he's more of your Cox Plate type of horse. I'd be very surprised to see him push through to the Melbourne Cup. I think he got that 2,500 metres just on pure class. As we see a lot, some of the three-year-olds do. Of course, Hubie Got You ran second in the VRC Derby and then went on that sort of mile to 2,000 metre path as well. I think he's done the similar thing there, just on class. He's by Delicani, so he potentially could get the trip, but I think, especially with the restrictions on travelling and such for the Cox Plate this year, that is shaping as a nice race. Of course, he's won over 1,200 metres as a three-year-old, but he'll have a spell and come back in the spring. The third horse that finished third, Warning Well, he deserves a spell, that's for sure. He's had 13 career starts, 11 of which were as a three-year-old. He's already won just under $1.5 million prize money. He ran in three derbies. He won the VRC Derby in the spring. He was sixth in the ATC Derby and, of course, ran third there in South Australia. He'll have a good break in the paddock, and Anthony Friedman will be able to map out a plan, which I'm sure involves a Caulfield Cup and Melbourne Cup path for him. He's an exciting sort of horse, Warning. I don't think we've seen the best of him just yet. He's certainly going to bob up for a nice race. And Anthony Friedman, the stable there of the two operations at Flemington and down there at Mornington, the Pinecliff setup, he's looks certainly well-placed to be able to have a bit of an influence in the spring. And he's a horse I'm definitely keeping an eye on going into the features. The fillies, Zaydani and Moonlight Maid, well, they were fourth and fifth. Zaydani, she made ground late. She was pretty good in the run, both of which backed up from the Oaks the week before. And Moonlight Maid, well, she spent all her tickets early. She was at the front. She was there at the turn. Looked like she was going to run away with it, but they just reeled her in. Zaydani, she was 11th at the 800, and she got home quite nicely. So the Lindsay Park operation have definitely got a horse there, and she could potentially be one that's aimed at a Caulfield Cup or a race along that handicap that she gets in a little lower in the weights. And she could bob up for one like that, and of course runs in the same colours as Vouvray. We saw in the early 2000s the mare go on to race in a Melbourne Cup. Oh, I don't have much more superlatives for Russian Camelot that we can use, but let's have a chat to the part owner, Dan Fletcher. Joining me on the line now here in the trainer's hut is Dan Fletcher. Dan, thanks very much for joining me on the show.
Pleasure. Thanks for having us, Todd. How are you, mate?
I'm good. Thanks. Probably not going as well as you are after the weekend, but I'm going well. Just tell us a bit about the Queensland Cup Colts, Dan, the syndicate that, of course, have a share in Russian Camelot. How did this syndicate come about, and how did getting the syndicate involved in Russian Camelot come about?
It came about in late 2018, basically after some discussions I'd had at that year's Easter yearling sale with a couple of Englishmen that I've become friends with. Mark Edwards is one and Melvin Ford is the other. So those guys were interested in trying to raise some stayers in Australia. And as it turned out, I think they got beat on some tried horses that people were trying to import, and they were conscious of just how expensive those proven tried horses had become. So the theory or the idea was to see if it made more sense to play the value game and buy some unproven stock and try and identify some nice yearlings and actually bring them down and be really patient and spend less and take longer, but try to do that. So that was the original kind of idea, and that's where essentially the credit for Russian Camelot goes to those guys and their agent, Jeremy Brummett, who picked a couple of yearlings out for us. He's an exceptionally good judge and a really astute individual. And so, yeah, they found a couple of horses at the Tattersalls yearling sale, and once they'd identified them, and that was the sort of contract, I suppose, we were... I was able to sort of come on board at that point and express an interest in being involved. And initially, you sort of think you might get involved by yourself. And you know, horse racing is one of those activities where the more you divide the ownership, you multiply the enjoyment. So you know, one thing led to another, and I spoke to a couple of people and said you might be interested in doing this with us. And you know, the more people they spoke, the more people expressed an interest. And before we knew it, we put a syndicate together that was 10 couples, and that's the limit of the number of people you can have in a syndicate in Victorian racing is 20 individuals. So that's Queensland Cup Colts came from that.
That's excellent. It's one thing that is about racing, the more the merrier. And if you own the own, doesn't matter what percentage you own, when the horse crosses the line, it's as if you own the whole lot of it. So that's good stuff. And the syndicate's involved in a few others of those yearlings that were purchased in the Northern Hemisphere?
Yeah, Jeremy found two initially. So we've got Russian Camelot, and there's another Champs-Élysées colt that he found that is yet unraced. So, I mean, the other horse is kind of a reflection of the expectation we had, which is to say you don't even think you're going to get to the races until you've probably got an Australian 4 or 5 year old, and it's going to be, I've said to all the people
yeah,
I was kind of explaining it to, that it's going to be a really slow process. So the other horse is still unraced, and I think he might have had a couple of jump outs, and he's still, you know, slowly maturing and coming through. So that was kind of the expectation, and that's where the Russian Camelot's just been a revelation. He's just been a natural and a sort of precocious talent from the outset, and just, you know, put his hand up and said, I want to go to the races straight away. So that's been just a pleasant surprise, I guess.
Yeah, and he certainly looks like he's got it. A lot more to give. Just, I'll take you back to Saturday, of course, not allowed on course with everything that's going on at the moment, but he was third wide, the tail of the field. What were you thinking during the race before the home turn?
During the race, it's just like, keep your hands down, Johnny, and keep him settled, which he did. Like, he was in a terrible spot, but you know, Johnny Allen didn't panic, and not, like, everything in the race plan was just to make sure he sort of relaxed. And so even though he was back and wide, you could see the horse was still being really generous, and coming to the turn, you know, that's when he had to come really deep. I nearly had to open the gate for him on the outside rail and let him out. He was so wide, but he was still just, he was in second gear. I think someone asked Jeremy Brummett in the UK press about whether it's taxing to run a three-year-old like this over a mile and a half, and he said it's not taxing when they go, you know, a mile and a quarter in second gear. So that was Russian Camelot on Saturday. He was back, and he had a lot against him, but he was still just so, he's so good, he was able to do it with himself.
Yeah, he looked very good coming down the straight. He really mowed them down, didn't he? It was an interrupted campaign. It's been well noted with the space between runs. Obviously, in the Northern Hemisphere, that's a lot more natural way of racing. Just within the group, the confidence, you know, with Danny O'Brien, was the message throughout, you know, a positive one the whole way through?
Very much so. Danny's message was positive the whole way through. The sense from this particular member of the group was to just, you sort of wince and hold your breath. Like, as an Aussie, and as, you know, we all just have it ingrained into us as to what sort of seasoning you need to run a trip like that. And, you know, the horse had a really disrupted preparation, and I think he had 7 furlongs and then missed a start because he played up, and then he had him to a mile. He was going to have 1,700 at Flemington, 2 weeks out from the Derby, and he missed that because of an inflamed sort of throat. And yet Danny just got on the blower, and he said, you know, it's not a problem. It's not a major issue, but it's an issue. We're not going to run him. He said if the Derby was on Saturday, he'd be going around, but we'll take him out. And he was totally confident in the horse and confident in the preparation that he had. He said he's ready to go now. He's ready to run a mile and a half, so he doesn't need the race and he'll be fine. So Danny's confidence was supreme. I sort of had my personal reservations, and all credit to Danny. He knows his horse, and I think for all the way through, you know, he's been saying privately this might be, well, I don't think he's had a better horse.
Yeah, and I think one of the things I really took away from some of Danny O'Brien's comments was that he's been training the horse for the Derby, you know, 12 to 6 months out. So the last month, he's, you know, started that long ago. He didn't start training him for 2,500 a month from the Derby. So Dan, he's ran on Oaks Day last year, so he's taken you to the carnival already. Have you found yourself daring to dream for a little bit later this year, the first Tuesday in November maybe?
Oh, I don't think you can help it. So, yeah, I'll admit we dare to dream. You dare to dream, but that's all you dare to do. We'll see what happens. There's a lot that's got to you know, come together between now and then. So, well, Danny's going to get him back, and I think the early part of the spring, I'll just sort of see where the horse is at, and hopefully he's progressing. You know, he's going to mature physically. Obviously, he's only a baby, so if he does make that sort of natural physical progression, the talent's there, the potential's there, and everybody can see it. So that's all we can do is dare to dream, I guess.
It was an excellent weekend last weekend. You're, of course, in the ownership of Sunlight. She was a little bit disappointing last start. She's racing in the Goodwood this week. Is she able to bounce back and give the punters a sight?
Yeah, mate. That's the short answer. she was disappointing, I suppose. In that sense, she's certainly not disappointing to me or to us. And
absolutely.
She's got nothing to prove. And the thing that you think about with Sunlight is, I think she might have looked after herself. We suspect at times last preparation. So she's an older sort of horse now. She's a mare, and sometimes when after they've had a long break, they can be a little bit patchy. But there's nothing physically wrong with her. Tony's been over every which way, and he's just played a few tricks with her over the last couple of weeks. And Tony is certainly of the view that she was disappointing, in inverted commas. She wasn't disappointing to me in the Everest, but you know, she probably wasn't quite up to her standards in the Everest, and she came out and ran the race of her life 2 weeks later, and we're all hoping she can do a similar thing on Saturday.
Yeah, she certainly has been a wonderful mare over her career, as well as a couple of the stars of the turf you're involved in. You've also got Talamon Thoroughbreds up there in Queensland, standing, well, was two stains. You got a new stain to the ranks this season. Of course, Sidestep, the sire of Kiamichi, who won the Golden Slipper last season. Jungle Cat, a Cadolphin raised horse, stands up there as well. And Sun City, new this year by Zoo Star, the same sire as Sunlight and from the same stable. Would you tell us a bit about Sun City?
Sun City is, so far, we think, the sharpest culprit Zoo Star's thrown. So he's a pre-Christmas group horse. He came out and, you know, really announced himself in a similar fashion to Sunlight herself, actually. He was on the same path, so he's a Magic Millions colt. They paid a lot of money for him. They broke him in, brought him back to the races as an October 2-year-old, and you know, he just showed massive natural ability from the outset. So he's a colt that we knew about for a good period of time. He won the Magic Millions lead up, and he was heavily in the market for that. So I think at that stage, everybody was kind of, you know, high in the iron, so to speak, and kind of hopeful that Sun City might be replicating the feats of his of the filly the year prior, but unfortunately hurt himself. So he's just a really talented, well-bred, you know, beautiful individual by Zoo Star that we think he's a really good candidate to come to Queensland. And you know, he's a he's a chance to be a nice stallion for us, and we think he's ready made for our Curtis incentive scheme, which really rewards precocious horses that are really maturing and show a lot of pace. And that's exactly what Sun City was.
He certainly looks an exciting prospect, and of course Zoustar has done everything right as a stallion so far. He's starting to get those sons at stud, and very much looks like he could very well be a sire of size in the future. And Dan, just before I let you go, I spoke earlier in the show about the breeding of stayers and things like that in Australia. Russian Camelot is a cult. Could we maybe one day see him standing up there at Telamon?
It's a bit like the Spring Carnival. We dream the dream. I would absolutely love to have a crack with a horse like that. And it's interesting when you think about the background of Russian Camelot. I've sort of explained to all of my sort of friends and colleagues and participants in our syndicate that it's a racing exercise, and these horses tend to not be commercially appreciated in Australia. But Russian Camelot's rewriting the rule book, I think, and he's got everybody's attention, and he is a genuine stallion prospect, and we'd absolutely love to have him here, if not wherever that may be. I think he's got a really big contribution to potentially make to Australian breeding, so fingers crossed, let's hope so.
He certainly does. He's got a lot left in him on the track before we get that far, and a couple of big wins in store, hopefully. Dan, thank you very much for joining me on the show. It's been a pleasure to have you on. I'm very generous with your time, so thank you very much.
Always a pleasure. Thank you, Todd. Thanks for having us, mate.
We're going to have a look at the listed Andrew Ramsden Stakes now run at headquarters there at Flemington over the 2,800 metres. It is, of course, win and you're in to the Melbourne Cup. Connections, Daring to Dream, and chasing the start in Australia's greatest race. I've narrowed it down to one horse. As soon as the nominations were out, or I suppose before the nominations, when we figured out the direction which some horses would be going, it's all about King of Legrand. So I'm very, very bullish about this horse. You know, I've been following him after that Bart Cummings, and he was one with the news of Macedon Lodge being sold that I was very keen to keep an eye on what trainer he ended up with. And when it was announced that he was going to be with Danny O'Brien, it just added to that intrigue. So he's coming through the Adelaide Cup, the 3,200 metres, the Group 2 event. He's won that well. The Roy Higgins quality, the 2,600 metres here at the track as well. And I think he could be the real deal. Funnily enough, he's by Camelot as well, the same sire as Russian Camelot, who we've spoken a lot about. And I think we're going to speak a lot about in the future too, as we have this focus on the path to the Melbourne Cup here on the Trainer's Hut. But I expect King of Legrands to win this race easy. I think Dark Alley is going to be thereabouts. Of course, the Paul Pruska horse runs in the same colours as Surprise Baby, who ran second a lip in this race last year to Steel Prince, both of which went on to run in the Melbourne Cup, which last year was the first year. So it was very encouraging to see both horses run well. Surprise Baby ran fifth, and Steel Prince was ninth in last year's edition. So they're starting to set a bit of a precedent and really back the call from the VRC to give this ballot exemption status to the Melbourne Cup. He's coming off a win at Geelong, Dark Alley, and he, of course, ran in that Adelaide Cup, and he's got some really good form, winning three of his last four. We know Paul Pruska, he's spoken a lot about this horse, and Surprise Baby said, you know, they're not the same horse. There's a few things there that remind him of him, but it's more so what he learnt last year and going into the race, preparing for the race. So I'm really expecting Dark Alley to run a nice race. Good Idea is the other horse that doesn't run bad races. Good Idea for Philip Stokes. He runs in the famous Dato Tanchinam colours. Boy, So You Think, out of Faint Perfume, so mum and dad wore the same colours as well, and we know how good a racehorses those two were. It's a bit of a match made in heaven, and I don't think he's going to get past King of Legrands. He ran second to him in the Adelaide Cup a little while ago there, and he's the five-year-old, which of course is the cut-off age for the Andrew Ramsden. It's 3, 4, and 5-year-olds it's available to, so this is his last shot at getting the Andrew Ramsden, but he's a horse that is continuing to run in these quality staying events. There's a couple here I've got a little dot next to, and I've just earmarked Norway, Surrey Thunder, and Jack Regan. These are some imported horses, too, with Chris Waller, and Jack Regan with Trent Busserton and Natalie Young there at Cranbourne. I think this race might have come a little early for Norway and Surrey Thunder. They're still fairly young horses with the Chris Waller Yard. They're gaining a bit of experience here in Australia and racing, you know, our way of racing. Norway is a Yulong Investments horse who Coolmore stay in the ownership of, and Surrey Thunder, of course, races in the Bray Sulkowski colours, made famous by Yes, 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 and continuing to see more and more of at the races. There are a couple that I just want to keep an eye on, and the other two of note, Too Close to the Sun. I don't have him winning this race, but I think he's a horse that is well and truly on the way up. He's, I tell you, talk about not running a bad race. He's 7 wins and 5 placings from 13 starts. He's a Carlton House half-brother to Trap for Fools. We know he won the McKinnon Stakes, so Lindsay Smith has really been placing this horse strategically. Started him over there in Perth, and when he saw the talent he had, brought him over to Victoria. He won over the Cox Plate distance at Moonee Valley before the Terang Cup, and then coming off a win in the listed Warrnambool Cup at their carnival. So he's a horse that is fancied in the market. I personally don't have him winning the race, but he's right up there for the punters. And the other horse worth a mention is Runaway. He won the VRC St. Ledger a couple of years ago. He's already raced in a Melbourne Cup. He started that career over the hurdles, and it looked like he was going to be solely a hurdler. And they initially intended to run him during the week in the jumps trials. And they found out that those trials were only available to horses trying to get their ticket. So they said, why don't we have a crack at the Andrew Ramsden and have a go at the win and you're in. So we spoke about Jack Regan there, Norway, Surrey Thunder. And just before we wrap up here on the Trainer's Hut, it is a great initiative. I said it off the top, I want to say it again, by the VRC to put this race on. And I, for one, absolutely love to see it. I mean, there's a field of stayers here that are getting their chance to, for the connections, the jockeys, you know, the trainers, to get a shot at the Melbourne Cup, the race that stops a nation. So it's an excellent thing to see. And I, for one, would probably like to see a few more of them as well in the future. And as we talk a lot about the breed and shaping of the breed, that's something that can only encourage people to buy the horses at the sales and people to breed them as well, and gives the stallions a chance at stud to really succeed. So it's really good to see. Hopefully there's more of it in the future. And we look forward to here on the Trainer's Hut having a look at the winner and potentially following him right through to the Melbourne Cup, which is certainly be exciting times for the owners. That's it for the show for episode 2 of the Trainer's Hut. Thank you very much for tuning in. As we said, you follow and subscribe to the show on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You can also head to the website sportthought.com.au, subscribe there, keep up to date with all the blog posts and other podcasts that we have there on the site. If you want to get in touch with us on Twitter, at Todd Blum Bloodstocks, the handle there. On Facebook and Instagram, search Sport Thought. You'll see us there. But that's it for episode 2. Thank you very much for joining me. I'm Todd Blum, and I'll see you next time on the Trainer's Hut.